Welcome. This is the Zero Point Show. It is Saturday, December the 8th, 2002. And we thank BBS Radio for having us on every second week. My name is Christopher Holmes, and I have my website at www.zeropoint.ca. And I wanted to comment just before we begin, and just at the beginning of this show, how ashamed I felt this last 2 weeks of Canada's vote at the UN with regards to Palestinian statehood. And people familiar with that vote realize there was like seven countries in the world against it. And one was Israel and the United States and Canada. And then the four other countries were pretty minor players. In fact, I hadn't even heard of the countries' names. But Canada was up there with the United States and Israel. And I think for most Canadians, we'd feel ashamed of that. Because Canada historically, I thought, played a role in peacekeeping and trying to preserve international order. And this is just terrible that those three countries have become aligned in that way. So I think for myself, and I think the other Canadians we'll have on the show today will feel the same way. Anyway, I just wanted to open to that, and then I'm going to bring in our co-host, Dee Nicholson, from Toronto area. Hi, Dee, how are you?
Not bad. I'm still mad about the same thing you're mad about.
Isn't that terrible?
It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing that it was nine nations that voted against.
Oh, what?
41 nations abstained from the vote, but
yeah.
Everybody else, in the entire world, every member of the UN other than 50 nations, most of which, as you pointed out, were so small as to not be counted really as nations. Seriously, they're not big economies. We're talking about places like Mauritius and Palau and things like, I mean, these are
yeah.
things that you see on, the only reason we know them is because they show up on Survivor. Nobody ever heard of Vanuatu until they did Survivor Vanuatu a couple of years ago. And it turns out that Vanuatu is one of the places where our high political officials have offshore bank accounts.
Well, I can believe that because you know
yeah.
that those countries must be run by certain mafia types who control our country and the state.
Oh, yeah, they bought themselves an island.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they did, you know.
Yeah.
And there's very few of them that are run with any kind of human dignity or compassion. And you know, when you see exactly who it was voted against Palestine, I can understand nations abstaining because
mm-hmm.
politically it might be a sensitive thing to do, but it's the honorable thing to do when you can't vote yes according to your conscience, and you can't vote no because
mm-hmm.
it would cause you trouble in trade and everything else. So what do? You abstain the same
yeah.
way they do in Parliament. Well, but there's Canada as one of nine out of nearly 200 members of the UN, okay,
Yeah, 147, actually.
Well, it's a whole lot. No, it can't be.
Because
138 plus 41 plus 9, so there you go. Okay, so by the numbers, we're in the vast minority.
Yeah.
In the vast minority, and where do they get off causing people more pain? And then what really frosted me was this. Palestine, because Palestine and Israel are kind of intertwined all over the place, there's people from Palestine that work in Israel. You
mm-hmm.
know, they had jobs there before, and now all of a sudden it's Israel because Israel moved the border.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these people have to pass through checkpoints, and they owe taxes to the Palestinian government. Well, Israel collects those taxes, and as a response to the fact that the UN voted overwhelmingly to give Palestine non-member national status,
Yeah, they took their, yeah.
They took the tax money.
I know. I couldn't believe
it. It's like, excuse me, if you can't hit them hard enough with your ding-blasted bombs, let's take all their money away now.
Yeah.
You know, no aid is allowed in, right?
Yeah.
And we got Harper sitting there in Ottawa pontificating about the whole mess while selling us off to China.
Yeah, meanwhile, you know, in the background, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I hate to say it, but at this point in time, it's getting to the point where some nut bar is going to start taking people out. You know, some of these guys, they better be wearing their bulletproof vest because they're ticking off an awful lot of people.
A lot of people,
it's lucky they don't have guns because people are that angry now. They are
angry. Oh, that's good to know. I wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who, I mean, they may be truth seekers in terms of how they chase down information, but when it comes down to being spiritual people who are harmless, they fall very far short of the mark, and these people are being harmed. And, you know, when you get harmed, you start to bite back. It's like you can only beat a dog with a stick so long before it bites you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and woof, woof, grr, grr, at this point. The dogs are starting to howl. And when the dogs start to howl, then these guys got something to worry about. And this worries me because people who ordinarily wouldn't harm anybody, you know, they wouldn't think of it, are getting harmed themselves to the point where, you know, they can't supply their children with what they need, they can't feed their families properly, and then you hear that because of all this standardization of everything, perfectly good vegetables and fruits are being plowed under the ground because they don't suit the packaging regulations.
Yeah, and meanwhile we're being sprayed from the sky with their toxic chemicals, which contain aluminum, barium, strontium, all kinds of viral matter and so on.
And these people have possibly desiccated red blood cells. John Hamill from International Advocates for Health Freedom was reporting this week on a near miss between an USAF Air Force jet having a near miss with two chemtrail tankers.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
Interesting, because you and I've discussed in past weeks, where are the flight plans for these things?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, there aren't any.
Oh.
Apparently, there aren't any. So what authority has put aircraft in our skies above our heads without flight plans?
Yeah.
No,
just everything. Everything about our culture makes me sick in a way. It's just like these people don't do anything for the people, for the population.
No.
Everything is against us. Everything.
Everything is for their pockets.
It's unbelievable. I find that it's morally revulsive to wake up in this society that we're in. It's terrible.
It is. And what gets me the most is not so much what they're getting away with, but the fact that the people are letting them. The people are letting them get away with it. They're not paying attention. They're just going along blindly and, you know, filling their own pockets and being as greedy as they can be so they can personally live through hard times. And they just ignore everything that's going on that could be fixed very easily by people standing up and saying, no, you don't have the right to do that, and we're calling you on it. You know, and if people were to do that, I mean, the government only has a mandate by the people. And when the people have an election and they vote people in, they say, okay, well, give them a chance. A chance to what?
Yeah.
Violate every law we've got, every decent thing about our society, violate all of that, and then say, oh, we'll vote the other guys in.
Yeah.
I point them back to Tommy Douglas's speech back in the 40s, where he basically talked about a mythical land called Mouseland, and the mice kept electing cats that were either white or they were black, but they were always cats. You know, brilliant little essay. People should Google that. It's on YouTube, and it's Tommy Douglas, Mouseland, narrated by Kiefer Sutherland, his grandson. It's an awesome little piece. And it's well worth remembering now because people really need to know. And, you know, one of the victims of this horrible state that we live in right now is our guest today, Werner Bock, because Werner, who's out in New Brunswick, has had, you know, all kinds of trouble and has just come out of a court case filed by the Canadian government, and he's got some amazing evidence showing that his cattle have been interfered with and all kinds of nastiness going on. Why? Well, because Werner stands up for the truth.
And how did I hear of Werner is that he's a frequent call-in to one of the guest shows I listen to. So he's often calling in and always has really sharp opinions. And
Light of Truth radio show. Yeah, Werner's on there a lot.
Yeah.
He's an amazing fellow and very, very well-educated and a really, really excellent farmer who has had no trouble until the last few years, and all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah. So we'll invite Werner on. Welcome, Werner. Thanks for joining the Zero Point Show today.
Good evening. And I don't know, you make me blush.
You deserve to be.
Werner, we could talk about you for quite some time and make you perfectly beet red if we wanted to. you've done so much to expose what's going on. And, you know, I think Canadians should be grateful to you.
I wondered, Werner, if you might kind of pick it up a little bit. You were telling me a little bit on the phone the other day about coming to Canada and you know, about the farming. Maybe take us back a bit and take us a little bit through your life.
Well, I just want to make a short wrap-up. I grew up on a small farm over there in on the western side of the Iron Curtain in western Germany, in Lower Saxonia, in the southern tip. Mm-hmm. But as I say, it was hard picking. My parents, they had started farm in 1934 when my dad was being left at the creek without a paddle, you know, a couple years before the National Socialists came to power. He was a policeman in town. And the situation was very desperate. You know, there was a situation of civil war and so, and he was caught up in the middle, you know, and tried to maintain law and order. But anyway, when the National Socialists came to power, they kicked him out, and he was left there, you know, him and my mother and my older sister, you know, and they had to make a living. But since they always had been farming a little bit on the sideline in order to supplement their income, and at the time, it was, you know, being in government employment, it wasn't the sugar-coated paycheck what they're getting now. You know, my grandfather on my mother's side, he was in the postal service. And the only way they could raise their family and survive was when they had always a big garden and were supplying most of their food from their own hands, labor. But it was an honor position to be a government civil servant. It was an honor position within the community, and that's the reason why many try to get into the government service, you know. And at the time, it meant really to serve the public. But now this has been completely turned around, where now the servants are the masters, and they are bullying us around. But anyway, I don't want to go too far into that right now. But anyway, as I say, I grew up over there, and I was the youngest son. My brother, he was supposed to take over the farm, but since there wasn't much of a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, he decided to bail out and go into construction, you know. And so I was left to pick up, you know. And this happened about when I went the second year to business college, so I had to do the business college, and in the afternoon I had to do the farming. And as I say, I wasn't handed a pot of gold, but this is what it was with the people at the time. They had to work in order to make a living, and there was nobody there, you know, holding them over. But anyway, we were farming at the outskirts of a town, and the town was rapidly expanding, and most of the land we were farming on, I was farming on, was on a lease basis. And when the owners decided to sell the piece of ground I was farming, after I'd put a lot of work in, then I was left out in the cold, and I could foresee already the time when there wasn't any more enough land to for me to farm, you know. And this proved out. I came over in early 1969 here to New Brunswick, but the land I had been farming in 1968, when I went back in 1973, my dad had passed away, and I went back to settle some affairs. Half of the land that I had been farming in 1968, it was already built on. Subdivision, schools, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, I took the chance. I came here to New Brunswick. The New Brunswick government was looking for farmers to pick up where the local farmers had left off. And we were being told that the people were lazy. They didn't want to farm anymore. Huge tracts of good farmland had been abandoned. And they were in the process of reverting back to woodland and to they're growing up in bushes, in alder bushes and so. And but within a few years, within 2 or 3 years, I realized that it wasn't that the people had been lazy, but that there had been shenanigans going on for at least the previous 20 to 30 years. Illegal dumping of vegetation-controlled chemicals a la Agent Orange and alike, like they've been used in Vietnam there in in the 60s and in the early 70s. They had been dumped here on the province's farmland for, as I say, for at least 20, 30 years previously. And they were in use in at the military base, Camp Gagetown, for vegetation control on the firing ranges. And they were being used in huge amounts in the forestry operations, where the big companies came in and they clear-cut the forest and then when they replanted them with their coniferous trees in order to cut out the competition from the from other species so they wouldn't choke up the young softwood.
So who was the dumping being done by? Like this
most
like
of it
high
was
flying.
Being done by small single-engine private aircraft.
Wow,
from,
what?
From the surrounding airfields. There's one in Havelock. It's just only about 6 miles as a crow flies, another one in Elgin, it's about 12 miles away as a crow flies, then there's another one down in Watts Creek, up on top of the mountain there, it's roughly about 23 miles away, or 22 miles as a crow flies, and then in Moncton, outside Moncton, there's McEwen Airfield, plus there's the Moncton Airport, and one of the plane, or several of the planes, they were coming from the general direction of Fredericton. And after they did their dirty work, they turned around and headed back in that direction.
And but they and these people were dumping Agent Orange and other chemicals onto your fields.
Chemicals that would burn off the emerged grain, or the hay ground that would burn off the vegetation within 3 to 4 days. You know, it basically it would burn right up, and it would sterilize the top layer of the soil. And I have documented with thousands of photos anything that rooted deeper than the top 4 or 5 inches or 3 or 4 inches of the soil. It showed an excellent fertility of the ground. Just only the new emerged grain crop, you know, the small plants. They didn't have a chance to get into the deeper layer. And this has been going on now, I would say, for at least the last 70 years here in New Brunswick. And that has forced most of the farmers off the land. When about 60 years ago, the province was pretty well self-sufficient in food production. Whatever we could produce here was being produced here. There was more of a local economy. This has been destroyed. And now we are importing 90% of the food into the province. And it's even a worse situation in Nova Scotia, into the adjoining province. But a similar situation is in the eastern New England states, like in Maine and through that area. But years ago, I was looking at the situation, and I thought to myself, if I would be one of those big business tycoons, the way the situation was, it was more of a local economy. A lot of goods and services changed hands in a barter system. There was not much money to be made by big companies, you know, and now big supermarket and processing, you know, multinational companies, chains, you know. And there was not much money in for government, for big bureaucracy.
Did many of the farmers realize what was being done to them, how they were being sprayed by these aircraft?
See, this made me so furious. The farmers here didn't have a clue what kind of hell could be raised with those modern chemicals.
Yeah.
I was familiar with those chemicals because some of them they had been used in use already in the old country, you know. Because of lack of labor and so we had to use some of those chemicals, you know, for weed control and I was growing sugar beets, you know, selective herbicides that would pick up certain species of weeds while not harming the sugar beets, you know, like pyramine and Alipur and Avadex and 2.4-D, MCPA and all those chemicals. I was familiar with them. And it made me furious the way the experts in the Department of Agriculture tried to bullshit me and the way they have been lying to the farmers that were farming here, especially the old farmers. Those were brave souls. They were working hard. They were honest people. And they were being basically pushed aside, you know, by this hook and crook system that was run by the government, has been run now for at least the last 70 years. But the only ones that don't get affected are those that are sick on the gravy train with the provincial government. You know, I call them the flagship. Those big farms that have been on the trough, as I say, now for decades, and each individual of those farms where millions of dollars of taxpayers' money had been put in. While at the same time, the CBC, Canada's great grand old dame, over the years, they were mousing off, how much longer can we afford to subsidize the small, inefficient farms? And I was privileged to that one of the outgoing MLAs here, Beverly Bryan, before she went out of politics, she sent me the government account book, the government blue book on New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. And under the budget of the Department of Agriculture, I saw the names of those big farms around here. I saw them listed there with quite sizable amounts of money being paid to them that year, and they ranged anywhere from $10,000 to $75,000 that year. You know, and they were hidden away under payments to vendors.
Hidden away under payments to vendors.
Vendors. Like, for example, Irving Oil supplied fuel oil, you know, and heating oil to heat the office buildings, and fuel oil for the experimental farm, for the, you know, to operate the equipment, or corporate the stationer, you know, to provide office supply, and Taylor Ford to supply vehicles for the Department of Agriculture. That's where they had sneaked in the names of those big farms with those big payments. But one thing what I'd noticed, there's one of those farms here up the valley. And when those flying cowboys are around here, as soon as they come to the property of that big farm, they turn around. And there's not one burnt blade of grass on that farm. But most of the other farms, they wipe them out.
Wow.
So we're talking about selective, not just poisoning, Werner. It's selective poisoning.
But I was familiar to an extent from the old country. My dad, he was quite active in the farm organization, and then about there in the early 60s, late 50s, a group that basically hijacked the farm organization. It was the same way, you know, they were sticking with the government. And at the annual meetings, when anyone who was a dissenter, who did not put up with that corruption, they shouted him down and basically they isolated them. It was an inner group. My dad, he always called them the survivors. And when one year some of this inner group, members of them, they thought they were nice and cushy set with the government, the next year they were they were of the out crowd. They kicked them out. You know, and that's the way they...
Doesn't that recall Pastor Niemöller? You know, the quote from him, I didn't speak up because... You know,
I remember that. I didn't speak up because I didn't belong to any one of those dissident
exactly.
groups.
Exactly.
But when it came to me and I was being targeted, then there was no one left to speak out for me.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, it has gone a lot that way with our own farmers. And as a result of, you know, the influences you're talking about, plus NAFTA, I know that we have lost in Canada more than 50,000 good-producing family farms. And these people are being targeted. And now in the States, we see something even more nefarious in the fact that they've now changed the inheritance tax rules, and they're basically preventing families from inheriting the land that their parents bought and farmed on for many generations because of the tax rules. So if they can't get you one way, they're going to get you another.
And it is the same crowd that's masterminded it. It's the same crowd that masterminded the communist takeover in the Soviet Union, in Russia, and the Eastern European country, the same group that financed those mass murderers, the same group is still manipulating and pulling off their dirty deeds. I remember my mother, this was in the mid-60s, she went one time to the doctor and she was in the waiting room. There was a farmer's wife out of a neighboring village, and they were looking at the agriculture policy, and this other farmer's wife, she was very angry. She said, right across the border, just only 20 miles away where the Iron Curtain was, she said, on the other side, they grabbed the farmers at the throat and tell them, you give us your property and you join the collective farm, you know. And but she said, here in the West, they do it the sneaky way around, through the back door. But they are a lot worse than the communists. At least the communists, they did it up front.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's starting to come out front now.
I'm very much appreciating, you know, that you are involved and so many other people who are just plain not putting up with it anymore, and they become active. And
you know what, Werner? I don't like people who lie. I really don't. And what's been going on is people around the world have been lied to. The people who aren't affected by things are lied to about what is going on. And the people who are affected by things were lied to in the first place and now are the victims of it. So it's lies, lies, lies everywhere.
As I say, the ones that think they can sneak by keeping their head low, you know, sooner or later, Big Brother ends up at their Big Brother and his little brothers, they end up at their doorstep.
Uh-huh.
You know, to kick them out of the house or whatever.
The boots are getting very large, aren't they?
Yeah. But you were talking about the moral majority in regard to the vote at the United Nations about Palestine. It is an outrage. It is an outrage. And there is no more moral majority. The majority is so amoral, you know. They're neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. And this is what the Lord said about, you're neither hot nor are you cold. I wish you would be either hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out.
Yeah, well, I want to see some more spitting.
yeah, me too.
I mean, it's impolite to spit on the sidewalk, but I'd like to see a lot more spitting because people need to be spitting out this stuff.
Over the last two or three years, I got quite an awakening. You know, most of my life I was so involved, you know, trying to make a living on the farm, and I was figured that, you know, if you work hard enough, that's what we were being told, you know, you will have a chance to make a living in agriculture. And this was basically the carrot at the end of the stick they were holding in front of us, but we never could reach it.
Yeah.
I remember there years ago, you know, when I was a kid, we had those Donald Ducks, you know, those the little comics. And in this one story, the three little ducklings, they wanted to ride in town, but the donkey didn't want to go, you know. So the smartest one of the little ducklings, he tied a carrot on a string at the end of a stick and dangled it in front of the nose of the donkey. And the donkey was stretching his neck and trying to reach the carrot. And the faster he ran, the carrot always stayed in the same distance in front of his nose. But then when they came in town, you know, that smart little duckling, he turned around and he took the carrot, broke it in three pieces, and the little ducklings ate it, you know. And the little ducklings, he asked his brother, well, why are you doing it? Oh, he's going to go home when he wants to go home, we don't have to coerce him to go home, you know. But at least we got him with dangling the carrot in front of his nose. We got him to go where we wanted him to go.
That was Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Oh, yeah.
The ducklings, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Well, we've certainly got enough politicians who follow,
follow that kind of routine. Yeah, we know. There are politicians who are there just to warm a seat.
Yeah.
And in fact, unfortunately, that's most of them. And then if you try and get something out of them, you can't because they're not ready to help. They're not there to help.
I'm surprised how much this whole system extends down into the provinces. Like, what do you think of that, Werner? You've seen that you're provincial.
What I've seen over the years, when I had questions, when I was in the dark about certain issues, I looked about what is written in the Bible, you know. And the Lord said about the last days, man's worst enemy will be the ones of his own household. They spread out the family.
Wow.
That the family members go against each other. And one of the ways to stop the families was when they created the generation gap.
Wow.
It was deliberately created in order to split up the family.
Not only that, Werner, but also to make people dependent on the very government that was screwing them around. Because the only way you're going to get people to kowtow to government is if you give them no other source of support. So what they've done is they've eliminated the family compact, the family unit, as a source of support. And largely what you find now is, if you want help for anything, you got to call a government agency, or you're going to have to deal with a government agency no matter what anyway. And so then on top of that, you have a situation where it doesn't matter if you're a family member, you still have to deal with the government, and you have to follow all of their guidelines and all of their rules, and by the time you do, you no longer have a viable operation of your own. Then, of course, the only ones you can deal with are the people who are controlling, like, for instance, in the farm scenario, you have to buy seed from Monsanto because, gee, they contaminated your field and now you're screwed, you know, and Cargill and Searle and all these different ones. But it extends through every aspect of our economy. I mean, every aspect of our economy is being affected by this stuff now.
Yeah.
And people aren't realizing it. And then in order to enforce it, they victimize people like you, Werner, you know, put you through all kinds of hell at the time that you're trying to be most vocal to educate people as to what's actually going on out there. And what do? They try and silence you by whatever means they can get their little grimy paws on.
You know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
No
kidding.
And when
people think that the government is a solution, they shall look at what happened to the native people in North America that basically governed and managed by the Department of Indian Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are the Indians.
Yeah.
We are the native people.
Yeah, well, you know, I know a lot of Indians who are actually, they're laughing because they've been saying, wait, it'll come to you. It'll come. Just wait. You'll see it. And sure enough, we are now seeing it, that we are being treated no better than the Aboriginals on the reserves. And, of course, what's coming up for them next year is enough to just absolutely curl your hair.
With the free trade agreement, Dee, you're talking about?
Yeah, well,
with China?
Between FIPA, where they intend basically opening up any land, any resource that China wants under this FIPA, they can take. So in addition to pressuring people like Werner and other farmers, if China comes in and says, we want this reserve land, well, guess what? They're going to move the Indians because they have to under this agreement. They have to. So when it comes to all of these things and we haven't even touched yet on some of the horrendous stuff that Werner's gone through, and I can hardly wait to get down to that because I tell you, I've seen all the photos. I've seen the videos. I've looked at these things and gone, oh, my God, this is not malnutrition. This is not farmer-caused. This is obviously, I've never seen anything like it. And you know, you cannot sit there and not notice this if you have eyes open at all. You have to be able to see some of this happening at least. Like, where are the people's eyes?
I don't know. How come they can't see the chemtrails?
Oh, they see them, but they get conned. When they use the word contrail, they're not kidding. They're conning you big time.
Yeah, for sure. So, Werner, what are some of...
About the chemtrails?
Yeah.
I've been talking about a month ago to Dr. Sandra Ilya Perlingeri. She's living right across the border in Maine. She was a kind of peeved off when I phoned up, and she was a kind of angry at first, and she said, "Where did you get my number?" But anyway, they did for about 3 years. They tested the air at ground level after heavy chemtrail spraying. After that, some of that stuff ended up at ground level. And if I may just read you a list of what they tested.
Oh yeah, good.
The aluminum levels were 15.8 times above the allowable toxic limit, and we know what aluminum can do to the human body. And
it tangles nerve fibers. Just for people who don't know, aluminum causes the early onset Alzheimer's by tangling nerve fibers in the brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
here's another aspect. What they found out, people with Alzheimer's after they had passed away, they did autopsies. As I say, they noticed exceedingly high levels of aluminum in the brain tissue. And now with the increased exposure to electromagnetic radiation, like microwaves, and now the latest kit on the block is the smart meters and so on, mm-hmm. and computers and telephone What happens to a piece of aluminum or aluminum foil when you put it in a microwave oven and you turn it on?
Yeah.
Sparks fly.
I wouldn't want to try, Werner.
And as I say, the same thing happens to the brain with the increased levels of aluminum in the brain, exposure to electromagnetic radiation. Sparks fly, brain gone.
Wow.
Yep.
Just plain and simple. But anyway,
yeah, if you put anything metallic into a microwave, and you're going to have massive stuff going on. And it's one of the key warnings they ever give you. In fact, I recall reading a number of years ago that the guy who invented the microwave oven on his deathbed said he wished he'd never done it.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. They're awful.
And there's another issue about the microwave oven. For thousands, for millenniums, people have cooked their food with... infrared heat. It's a different frequency than microwave.
Of course.
And when you know about chemistry, when you expose an organic compound to a different frequency, you get different chemical reactions.
Well, of course you do. And they seem to skip over the fact that we are electrochemical beings. This is how our bodies are constructed. And it's the same as any other living organism, whether that be a cow or a sheep or a dog or a cat or even a fish. We are all held together molecularly the same way as any other life form on this planet. We're all carbon-based. We are all electrochemical, and you start messing with those frequencies, and you're literally altering the entire life-sustaining environment, which is designed to keep us healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on really here is we are being thrust into a living sewer.
So you had other comments, Werner, on what was in the chemtrails?
There are so many rabbit holes there. We can walk down, but as I say, we want to stick to the basic subject and hopefully arouse the curiosity of most of the people that they finally start waking up and start educating themselves about and start out with the basics before any kind of media whore or scientific whore have had the chance to put their own spin on it and obscure the picture again. But anyway, the antimony levels as tested were 63 point times above their allowable toxic limit. The arsenic levels, 418 times.
Oh, my God.
The barium levels, 5.3 times. The cadmium levels, 6 times. Chromium levels, 6.4 times. Copper levels, 9 times above the allowable toxic limit. The iron particulate levels, 43.5 times. The lead level, 15.7 times. The manganese level, 513.8 times above the allowable toxic limit.
Wow.
Nickel, 10.7. Zinc, 7.5. And here comes the cruncher. Manganese, temporarily, years ago, they had taken lead as a gasoline additive out of the gasoline, and they replaced it with manganese. And in the States, they uncovered it first that basically they had replaced the devil with the Beelzebub, that manganese was an even more potent neurotoxin than lead or mercury. So south of the border, on the American side, they had taken it out 2 years earlier. But here in Canada, as vigilant, you know, the guardians of the North, our folks in Ottawa, they left it in for another 2 years before they finally got off their butt. But I became aware of that information. I had contacted my member of parliament here at the time, the member of parliament, George Rydell, and relayed to him some issues in regard to agriculture and in environment, and he relayed them to Ralph Ferguson, who was at the time the liberal agriculture critic, and about a month later he sent me a whole big black binder with all the different issues he was pursuing in parliament, and one of them was manganese. And there was research papers in there where decades earlier they had looked into why in South America manganese miners were so prone to violent crimes. They had 10 times the rate of violent crimes, including murder, than the rest of the population. In the same situation they encountered, and I think even worse, in Australia, where Aboriginal people were living next to a manganese mine. Basically,
so it increases violence then. Wow.
It destroys the part of the brain where the self-control is located. Mm-hmm. You know? So people go out of control. And I wonder if this is all just a blooper by those fellas that spray those chemtrails, or the ones that instigated, or is there an agenda behind to have the whole world erupt in a unmanageable chaos? And here,
well, you know what? I want to add something to that, because there's another aspect that people don't think about very much, and that is the fact that at the same time as our land and our water and our air are all under this horrendous chemical assault, in addition to that, it's estimated that about one-third of Americans now are using some form of antidepressant.
Huh.
Now, here's the interesting thing. While these things are becoming more and more unaffordable for people, if they crash the U.S. economy, as we all expect them to do, because you can't have a superpower sitting at the table of a world government, then what's going to happen to these people who are all dependent on these psychiatric drugs? All of a sudden, they can't get them. So what? You've got a third of the country on psych withdrawals? What, and then add to that the manganese and the disability of the brain to function properly. Now what you've done is you've given it chemical support to stifle emotion, and holy crap, when people start... having the emotions, they've got stifled by these things like Wellbutrin and other SSRIs like Prozac and Paxil and all these other horrible drugs that give you a chemical lobotomy over long-term use. You know, when these things go, I mean, people are going to start going postal. They're getting it from every end. They're getting it not only from the governments who are allowing this stuff, and from the air that and the water and everything that you just, oh my God, some of those damage stats are, they're just horrendous. 500 times the allowable limit?
Yeah.
Come on. One time of the allowable limit is generally toxic anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
And we are breathing in those particles.
One unit of allowable toxicity is pretty toxic anyhow. So when you multiply that 500 times, you've got a deliberate assault going on. And then on top of that, you've got them being fed all these chemicals that they think are perfectly fine because their doctor gave it to them. Right? So on both ends, people are getting assaulted, and people's ability to think is being assaulted. And this is what really
basically what
me
will be the end result of hell on earth. And isn't that what Satan and his followers are working toward, hell on earth?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, it's when a place is run on lies, it can't be anything else but hell. You know, it can't be anything else but hell if it's run on lies.
What, Verna, were some of the other things? I wondered if they found any other viral matter or carcinogenic matter.
We didn't even mention that. Biological.
Okay.
You know,
these were all biological agents, like...
Biological warfare things, where they use the public as guinea pigs.
Because I've heard of them putting viruses into chemtrails and desecrated blood particles and other, like, organic forms.
Well, that was part of the report that John Hamill came out with on this near-miss, near-collision with the U.S. Air Force jet the other day, that all of a sudden the chemtrails were red. And he was postulating the theory that possibly this had to do with desiccated blood cells. Why were they red all of a sudden? You know, so, I mean, we don't know what's coming down.
No, we don't.
Except through people like Dr. Perlingeri and you know, and others, we don't know what's coming down. And no matter what list we come up with, they're going to give us a new one before we even blink.
Yeah.
You know,
and as I say, right across North America, in Europe, and right worldwide, now groups are forming that are educating the public. You know, for example, right across the border, we got Global Skywatch with Russ Tanner. We got on the West Coast, we got Alex and his group there, Alex Hunter there in British Columbia, California Skywatch, Arizona Skywatch, and Florida Skywatch, and New York, Long Island, no. New York.
Yeah, this is all for a big event that they're hoping to publish, I think, on February 3rd of this year. It's supposed to be a cross-Canada presentation about chemtrails.
Happy birthday to me. That's my birthday, and they have a traditional launch on my birthday. You betcha.
I think that's when it is, but we'll check on that ahead of time.
Yeah, well, that's a good birthday present for me, I think. To know that's
over
going
there
on
in Germany,
is a great
people
present.
Are getting peeved off. There's Werner Altnicker. I spoke to him there about a year ago. He's in the same province I'm coming from. And there are groups in Germany. There are groups in the United Kingdom. And as I say, it's high time that people start waking up and pay attention.
Well, we have to. I mean, literally, we have to, because our lives depend on it. And this is what people don't get, is that their lives and their livelihoods depend on their ability to think right now, and nobody's even trying.
Yeah.
They're too busy with their own garbage, you know? Oh, what are we buying for Christmas, and how do we afford it? Well, who cares? Your life's going down the drain. What's the matter with
exactly.
these people? You're all worried about your stuff.
And the father, he puts Santa Claus with his reindeer there on the roof of the house, and he takes the tumble. Maybe breaks his leg. Those are all the important things.
Well, you know, you put it out, you get it back, don't you?
Yeah.
That's the number one law of God is that you put it out and you get it back. And
I wonder about chemtrails. Like, the same people who are spraying them are also getting sprayed.
Of course, but you see, they're lied to.
Yes.
You lied to. You can't tell me that all these people who fly these tanker planes who are wearing hazmat suits just to get on board, for starters, you can't tell me that they're conscience-free.
No.
There can't be that many automatons walking around the planet that they could pull this off without a lot of lies. So a lot of these people are getting lied to. I'm waiting for them to whistleblow. That ought to be neat.
Well,
somebody's
thing,
going
you know,
to.
The military have been put out as guinea pigs, too, as they had seen, for example, here in Gagetown with Agent Orange.
Yeah.
You know, all the militaries that were exposed to were the spraying of Agent Orange when they were exercising in those areas and afterwards where the Agent Orange had been dispersed. And most of them, they ended up with cancer.
Yeah, well, yeah. My word to them is, you really want to serve your country? Open your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not any more enough. Their mandate is to serve and protect the people from enemies from within and without.
They're not going to make that a suicidal order, are they?
And I said there a few weeks ago when I was born at RBM, I said, where are now our biggest enemies? It's not the people in the Islamic country, you know, in Afghanistan and in Iraq and all those countries where they're hot-rodding around and bomb the hell right out of them. The worst enemies of the people are right in our own countries here. And the military shall grow some balls. And like with those companies like Monsanto, you know, with all the danger that what they are spreading, you know, they should give them evacuation notice for the staff to leave the Monsanto, the facilities, and then bomb the hell right out of them.
Well,
you know?
You know what? Just to paraphrase Jay Leno, if God doesn't smite Monsanto, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah a huge apology. So, I mean, I'm just twisting the... Because he said if God doesn't smite L.A., okay? Well, I'm twisting it a bit and saying Monsanto. So I'm waiting. You know Monsanto's going to get it. I just want to watch.
But this might give us an idea about the mindset of the majority in the scientific community, how much they think about the rest of us. I think in 2009 or some around a few years back, this Dr. Eric Pianka, they called him the lizard man. All his life he was studying lizards. That was his claim to fame. He gave a speech at a well-known Texas university a few years ago. And he advocated University of Texas Academy of Science.
Yep.
And he advocated the killing off of 90% of the world's population, and his preferred means was the aerial dispersal of Ebola virus.
Wow.
And
this is not the main part.
Was it Prince Philip or Prince Charles who came out and said if he was going to come back and reincarnate, he wanted to come back as a virus with a high kill rate?
Yeah, it's a lethal virus.
Yeah.
But this should be especially disturbing. After he gave his genocidal speech, his audience that was mostly comprised of doctors, professors, and students, they gave him a rousing ovation, and according
to
the article...
They gave him a standing ovation, as I recall.
Yeah, and they even stormed on the stage and congratulated him.
Wow.
So much about looking for a solution of us the people, coming from the scientific community.
It's just absolutely unbelievable, but then, you know what? Humankind has traitors in every corner, and
the traitors run the show. And in the Bible, they are talking about the plagues of locusts when they came over the land and devoured all their food crops and everything. And as I say, in Canada it happened too in the dirty 30s, you know, when the grasshoppers came, and in the south of the border, you know, during the Dust Bowl years, you know. Now we are dealing with a lot more lethal form of grasshoppers that coming out of the front doors of the university.
Yeah.
Whole millions and millions of grasshoppers.
and they fly to Monsanto, they fly to the military-industrial complex, and wherever you look, the pharmaceutical companies, wherever you look, where damage is being done all over the world to the people.
Yeah.
Those are the grasshoppers with white coats.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've even seen those here.
Yes, I think so.
They don't look normal. They don't look like normal grasshoppers. I used to think grasshoppers were real cute. Of course, they're not cute when they're eating your grain crop. But, you know, they're not. They don't even look cute anymore. They're weird.
Boy, it certainly shows what a weird influence has been brought down within the education that someone like Bianca there in Texas could get that kind of ovation. Like, what have these people grown up with? How has this been infiltrated into our universities?
Well, with money, of course. This is where the funding comes from for this chair or that chair or this department or that department. And every professor knows, and I'm sure you do too, coming from that community, Christopher, everybody's dependent on the funding. And because they're dependent on the funding, they don't want to tick off the people who are giving them the money. So they will literally drop all of their scientific integrity and dump it for favor of either having a job or having a project or having, you know, research published. And this is all selfish. Now, these people are smart people, and this is why they're there, because they're smart people. But they're not acting in any kind of responsible way towards anyone else on the planet.
No.
And to my mind, it's like the cold aspect of intelligence is there, but there is no human heart, there's no human compassion, there's no love going on of anything.
Yeah.
There's no respect of anything. And as far as I'm concerned, until these guys learn how to make dirt from nothing, they've got absolutely no business damaging anything that God made.
Look, heads up to the few exceptions, including you, Christopher, Dr. Holmes, that are having the courage to stand up to this insanity.
Well, we gotta, because it's the only way out.
And
but you know what, Christopher, we've already been on air for an hour, and we haven't yet gotten to what Werner has suffered on his farm, what his animals have suffered, what his cows, his calves, even his dogs have suffered.
Yeah, so why don't we come back to that? That's a good idea.
I really want people to understand, this is not pie in the sky. Werner did not make this stuff up. The photos are online. If you want to watch the YouTube video, that's online. Just Google.
What's that called, Dee?
I don't recall the exact name, but you got to do is go to YouTube, and in the search bar, just put Werner Bock, WERNERBOCK, just like the beer.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Okay, everybody knows the beer, Bock. Okay, so bottom line, you find that, you're going to see the proof in front of your face, right, Werner? I mean, there it is.
And you can Google farmers on here, and people from all around the world have picked it up, or in sections, you know, it's in four parts, and posted in their YouTube site. But friend Alexander in British Columbia, he posts under Joker Tattoo, a tattoo with three O's. He has all four parts, and he has been an ardent fighter for so many causes, you know, including the injured workers that are being screwed by the workmen's compensation, or Love for Life in Australia. It's a couple in Australia, you know, that are basically fight valiant fight, and it can be found in all four parts in when you Google maritime diseases 50 makes. It's an old website. A friend of mine. Yeah. About 5 years ago, set up for me, and she is a fighter in her own right. She was the first one who blew the whistle on Lyme disease and the huge research fraud, and the way the people with Lyme disease were being pushed aside and put into loony bins. As I say, it's corruption all over the place, whores everywhere, scientific whores, political whores, media whores for hire, and you name them, whores for the money.
Yeah, and I hate to remind people, but none of these people who are supporting all this genocidal activity, because that's what it is. You can try and put a nicer face on it, but it's not. There's no way. I mean, if you're doing things that are destructive to life, you're committing genocide. I don't care who you are. You know, I'm not saying who's doing it, but I'm saying it's being done. Okay, and what really gets me is the fact that so much is known about this stuff, and yet so little is being done. Mm-hmm. There are brave people here, there, and everywhere else who are speaking up and trying to make a difference. But then these people get vilified and discredited by government and by media machines. And then you have people like Dr. Oz, who was turned into a star by Oprah, okay, has his show on, comes out in favor of organics, and 2 months later is backing Monsanto. So how does
well,
that happen?
Say, you know,
people are getting turned.
The woman who sells themselves, you know, they have to put a nice makeup on.
Yeah, exactly.
To look attractive.
Exactly. You know, it's all PR. But the thing that gets me is that, you know, people aren't paying attention. People who idolize Dr. Oz are forgetting that 2 months ago he said this or that, and they're not saying, wait a minute, 2 months ago you said this.
Yeah.
Where is that now?
Well,
why are we not hearing about that now?
So, another thing, Werner, we just want to go back to your farm, though, and hear about your animals and what damages they suffered and such.
Basically, what I basically documented was the way most of the animals were killed or badly damaged was by the use of directed energy, like lasers or masers. They used frequencies that would modify the atmospheric air, especially the oxygen and the nitrogen, and made them highly toxic, deadly gases. That's the reason why in the documentary I call it the proverbial death bean. But this got nothing to do with aliens or UFOs. This is technology that has been around for over half a century. Hello?
Well, it's unbelievable, but it's out there. And like I said, anybody who thinks this sounds a little otherworldly and a little right out there, all they need to do is take a look at what's happened to your cows.
And it is out there. These people are so psychiatrically disturbed that they're perpetrating these things against us across all levels of our society.
I happen to like cows. I always like cows. And I particularly like calves because they have a tendency to lick you. I think they think you taste good or something, but they're so cute. And here these little beggars are, and they got burns on their nostrils, and they got literally massive pain. They must be going through massive pain to have these burns inflicted on their noses by that process that Werner just said.
The burns inflicted on their noses is only one part of it. As I say, the energy is being focused with lasers or masers, and I have identified the locations where it came from. In some instances, it was a house right next door. And then the cattle, they had holes, for example, they had holes burned right into the udders, 3 inches deep, killed 5,000 in 1 week. But the atmosphere
is
being changed.
And then they turn around and say, you were starving your cows?
After effect, after the immense damage is being done by breathing in this modified atmospheric air, the massive corrosive effect to the inside of the rumen, to the lungs, you know, that leads to massive hemorrhaging, massive corrosive effects. There's so much damage in the lining of the stomach, or in the rumen, in this case in cattle, and to the digestive tract, that the animals cannot digest their feed anymore.
Wow.
Plus, this gas, it is a very powerful sterilant. It sterilizes the digestive bacteria right out of the digestive tract. And especially ruminant animals, they especially depend on digestive bacteria to break down the fiber.
Which is why they have multiple stomachs.
Yeah, even this goes through all the subsequent stomachs and through the bowels. And at times it caused outright corroded right holes into the stomach. This is unbelievable, isn't it? And another thing, what it causes. For example, we are dealing then with where we know that when oxygen is exposed to a UV frequency, it is being changed into ozone.
Yeah.
What we see in the summer months, you know, when the UV index is high, especially in the cities, people are dealing with ground level ozone, you know, and it's very harmful. And when we are dealing with a heat producing frequency, we get the oxidization of nitrogen, like it happens wherever you got a combustion process, like inside an engine or inside the stove, you know. The nitrogen in the air is being oxidized. Now, this is being this directed energy is being focused on the nose of the animals or human beings, and then the targeted creature is breathing in this modified air. And when nitrogen oxides are being inhaled, they combine with the moisture and they form nitric acid. It's one of the most corrosive acids, and you imagine that getting into the lungs and getting down in your esophagus into your stomach, and the damage it does there. And when we are dealing with ozone produced from oxygen, atmospheric oxygen, by the use of UV frequency, when inhaled, the ozone combines with the moisture and it forms peroxide. It is corrosive and it bleaches. I have documented on the autopsy photos. But then you
were showing also, you were showing blackness in major organs.
Not blackness. I have photos, basically this leads to massive hemorrhaging of the internal organs. When, for example, this nitrogen oxide, when it is being breathed in, it is in form of nitrogen oxide, nitrogen dioxide, nitrogen trioxide. It forms nitric acid, one of the most corrosive acids. It does massive damage to the lungs. So the barrier is broken between the lungs and the blood vessels. So it gets picked up by the bloodstream and gets pumped around in the blood vessels. And within the next few hours, it leads to massive corrosive damage to the inside of the major blood vessels.
I'd like to make a point on exactly what you just said. Most people are not aware, but chemotherapy is based on nitrous oxide. And nitrous oxide was also the gas that was used in the war. So we're talking mustard gas. That's what it is. It's mustard gas.
I don't know the chemical formulation of mustard gas, but if you I want to finish up this line there.
Yes, please.
As I say, it causes massive corrosive to the inside of the major blood vessels, and within hours it leads to aneurysm and massive hemorrhaging of the vital internal organs, including the heart muscle. And it can bring on sudden strokes. But then the other component is nitrogen trioxide. It got an additional very aggressive oxygen atom. And this causes over-oxidization of the blood, which leads to blood clots, another cause for heart attack or stroke. But with this massive internal damage being done to the vital internal organs,
were these things being irradiated from a tower, or what was...
This can be done even with a handheld laser.
So they can target particular farmers' animals.
Yeah, as I say, you know, I'm basically the odd man out. I don't feed much money into the pockets of the Chamber of Commerce and the business community, you know. So I'm basically like a cow that doesn't milk for them. So that cow has to be kicked out of the barn. and another cow has to be moved into the barn, who wants to spend lots of money here in the local economy and into the pockets of the Chamber of Commerce, and preferably a cow from another country, somebody who brings here maybe a few million dollar in, and as long as there's money to spend, they leave him alone. But as soon as the money is gone, kick that cow out, get another cow in, suck another one in. But anyway, this is massive damage to the internal organs. It leads to massive organ failure. And it is the reason for sudden onset of liver failure, kidney failure, sudden onset of diabetes, and all those things. And isn't this what happens all the way around? And people with, as I say, sudden strokes, this damage is like a freight train runs right through the body. When my friend Kathleen, when she was here, she had been traditionally trained. She used to work as an analytical scientist for Pfizer Laboratory in Connecticut. And she wanted to go right into the little details, the way they were written in the textbooks, about the very intricate balances between the different chemical balances within the body and interaction. And I said, Kathleen, you can throw that all out of the window. It's like a freight train runs through, And when that happens, or you get run over by a car, who cares about the intricate chemical balances in the body, when all your bones are broken?
Mm-hmm. So what, Werner, you've just gotten out of a court case. Is that relevant to our situation?
No, I'm not out of the court case. Yesterday I had my fourth appearance. And can you believe it? The crown prosecutor, I had printouts of PubMed research that had been done on the exposure to those gases, published by PubMed. One of the most, or if not the most, reputable scientific publication south of the border, And the crown prosecutor was bickering around, oh, no, that does not count. I need an expert witness. I said, I haven't found an expert witness here in Canada yet.
Yeah.
The only place where they had done similar research of about exposure to those gases was at McMaster University in Hamilton. But most of the bulk of the research had been done south of the border in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And I had the printout of the research reports, from PubMed.
So and what was happening in your court case? Like, what is the charge?
I was not supposed to have provided them with proper food and proper feed. They wrote food with proper access to water. And I have all the evidence there. They had two places where they could drink. 80 yards further down, there is a brook with steady running. It's the same water what I'm drinking in the house. I had the water tested. The water is fine, And I tapped into some of the springs that were coming out of the side here. But the overflow goes all into the brook, and the water from one of the springs is piped into the house. But then I tapped into the water line, like in the winter when the snow is deep, and I noticed that some cows had the reluctance to go the 80 yards down there to the brook. So I tapped into the water line and set up a bathtub and let the water steady run in. The bathtub was always half full of fresh water, But basically they cooked up all kinds of stories, and they couldn't make anything stick.
Yeah.
Well,
but they want to drag it out, and they hope that in the meantime I kick the bucket, because they are gassing me day after day, at least once, sometimes twice and three times, as soon as I get out here in the open. And I've seen the damage that's been done to the animals, especially the last cow they killed last spring. She lived about for another week, and when she died, her lungs were green and mushy, And there were holes were corroded into the intake where the esophagus went into the stomach, holes where I could stick my whole fingertip in.
Good Lord.
And did they bring up this you brought this evidence out in your court?
I had three binders, one for the judge, one for the crown prosecutor, and one for myself. and all the vital exhibits were being numbered, and we went piece by piece through. And the only thing the count prosecutor would come up with was, oh yeah, that is not cannot be accepted as evidence in court.
Why not? Why not?
There is another thing behind. The Attorney General for the province of New Brunswick, Mary-Claude Blais. She is a lawyer from Moncton, and about 6 or 7 years ago, she was part of the political morning panel on the CBC Moncton. And I listened to her, and I contacted repeatedly a whole many politicians and gave them the information, gave them the documentation. At the time, I had only the pictures. I didn't have the DVD. And they are officers of the law, the lawyers. The same way are police officers. And when they are being given evidence of crimes that have been committed and they don't take the appropriate steps, they become criminally just liable as the ones who committed the crime. And in this case, the Attorney General, under whose auspices the courts in New Brunswick, the provincial courts, operated.
Well, they call it aiding and abetting.
Yeah.
And I'd say they're both aiding and abetting.
And that way I have several politicians, ministers, deputy ministers, even provincial premiers, Frank McKenna and Bernard Lord. I'd given them all this this information, and both of them are lawyers. So Rob Moore, who was for 5 or 6 years parliamentary secretary to the Minister of Justice at the federal level. So his successor, Robert Gorgon in Moncton, and they have done nothing. See, there is a whole account of criminal conspiracy being racked up. So they want to win time and hope that either I can keel over or something goes wrong over the winter with the animals where they set them up and then they can blame it on me. But this has been going on for over 37 years.
What is their aim, to force you out of business, or what?
I was being threatened by the very same family clique they started out with. Sooner or later, we get you out of there. The same clique that has run the church down the road, another one of the good so-called good Christian women, we're going to get you. Another one of the so-called good Christian women. The land was granted our forefathers and their descendants for all times. And I said, you know, but when they sell it? Oh, belongs to them anyway. Oh, I said, that's nice. And I'm stuck with a 25-year mortgage. A few years later, they came up with the other cock. Oh, yeah, in the Old Testament, every 50 years was a year of Jubilee, where the properties would be given back to the original owners. And I said, and where do I fit in? I fall through the cracks. I said, you should have put...
Yeah, and who exactly was the original owner besides God?
The original owner by occupation were the native people, and here we come to another aspect about Canada, the finest, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Kevin Annette, Canada's hidden Holocaust.
Oh, yeah.
And the white came to biological warfare against the native people in the 17th century, and not just against the Iroquois. But here in Atlantic Canada, against the native people that killed most of the native people here.
Yeah, the Mi'kmaq.
The general that was responsible for General Amherst, they named a town after him. And I said there a few weeks ago on
several,
the when I
actually, in there's an Amherst, New York as well.
Yeah, but anyway, a few weeks ago, I think I was phoned in at Dan Spingola. There is another very valiant fighter, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, ceremoniously, those generals and so that have done so many crimes at the anniversary of their death or something, maybe ceremoniously, men should go and do a symbolic relief in themselves on their gravesite.
They deserve much worse.
Yeah, and if it's been snowing, don't eat the yellow stuff.
Yeah.
That would make it even more.
Well, the yellow is a warning color, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was yellow.
What here, for example, the New Brunswick government, there's an environmental Watergate.
Oh,
and what the veterinarians have
this is not just Watergate, this is water floodgate.
Yeah, and what the veterinarians have been covering up all over North America, where farmers and ranchers are being shafted. And after the animals, the surviving animals, after they have been so badly damaged, and then they thin right down, I've seen weight loss on a mature cow of between 300 and 400 pounds within...
Wow.
3 or 4 days.
Well, that's about a third of their body weight, isn't it?
Yeah. And I questioned at my court appearance on the 25th of September. I took the veterinarian, one of the veterinarians. They didn't dare to, they disallowed when I subpoenaed the local, the district veterinarian, Andy Seng-Ange. The judge, Jolene Richard, she disallowed all my witnesses, and the only witnesses she allowed were the witnesses of the Crown. And guess what? When I went into court, guess who didn't show up? One of the witnesses that was allowed by the Crown was an RCMP officer, Tremblay, who had made up a story and related to the veterinarian that I parked my machinery below the road in an H and an I to send a message to the aliens that are high-flying over my farm. And this police officer, he was to appear in court. He did not show up. If I don't show up in court, they sent a warrant out for me. And you know, yesterday morning, I don't know if it was coincidence.
The guy was subpoenaed. If he was subpoenaed, he can be arrested.
And if you are subpoenaed as a witness and you don't appear in court, you know, they sent the police after you or the sheriff after you and bring you in handcuffs.
Yeah.
And here I want to say, yesterday morning, I was supposed to appear at 9:30 in court, and I was earlier there, and I walked along the courtroom doors, and the numbers, it was dark in that corner, they were not lit up. And I saw just only small numbers over the doors, and I was supposed to appear in courtroom on the second floor in courtroom number 3. And the only door I could find where there was a number 3, and there was a number 2 and 003 behind was punched in on that metal plate. And I, as I say, the top light, I wasn't aware about those lights that they would light up. But the courtroom was already open, so I went in that courtroom, and then at short before 11 o'clock, when the judge took a break, I asked the sheriff up front, I said, you know, I'm supposed to appear in court. And he looked in his list. No, yes, you're in the wrong courtroom. This is courtroom number 1. But by then, when I went out in the hallway, they had lit up the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
But so I went right away to the judge's office, and they said, misunderstanding, and you have to be there at 1:30. You know, so there were the whole proceedings here the afternoon. But when I came into, I apologized to the judge and I explained to him, Judge Troy Sweet, I incidentally had been appointed by Mary Claude Blay by the beginning of the year. I explained to him that the lights weren't on above, you know, and I took the number that was... you know, on that metal plate, you know. And he said, oh, I sent already a warrant out for you.
Oh.
But different strokes for different folks. Different strokes for different folks.
We're all in danger because you're out loose.
Different strokes for different folks, and the mountie gets away for not being in court.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I remember something Dr. Dahl said about a year and a half ago. This is after Health Canada came in and raided him and his company and
Elton Dahl
devastated him. He said that he brought his wife over from Bulgaria to escape this kind of stuff, and he was in tears in this interview because hear his wife, who he had promised she would live free in Canada.
And she jumped from the fire into the frying pan.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Either or, either way. Frying pan into the fire or fire into the frying pan makes no difference. Your butt still gets fried.
You know, my dad was saying, he was a veteran from the First World War, and he said always the safest place to be was during a battle, to jump into the crater that had been just created by the last explosion from a grenade.
Exactly, because lightning doesn't strike twice. They're not going to lob it in the same place twice.
Yeah.
So what happened in your court then yesterday then? Do you went
well,
back to
anyway, I stood my ground, and some people would have advised me not to. I took the witness stand and witnessed, you know. And we went piece by piece through all the evidence, you know. As I say, the account prosecutor had the same evidence, you know. I'd made up three folders with all the documentation, the vital documentation, letters, and the accusations from the woman from the SPCA, you know, and piece by piece. And the evidence, one part of the evidence was the published research on exposure to ozone and nitrogen oxides, the published research. It was supposed to be thrown out, not to admit it as evidence in court. And I am supposed to provide an expert to verify to that.
And they're in the States.
As I say, it is unbelievable, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, they put you in a position where you cannot defend yourself, and this is against the rule of law.
And when I was in the wrong courtroom, there was one gentleman, he was accused of indecent exposure. But then when I heard the whole story, it was a whole different story, you know. And the judge, I think it was Judge Arsenal, he said, you know, since the count did not provide compelling evidence, you know, that he committed any kind of a crime and a lot of misunderstandings, you know, he acquitted him,
of course.
But that's nothing.
That's only indecent exposure. Nobody cares.
No. As I say, this gentleman, he had a medical condition, and he was under medical supervision for medical condition. You know about the urinary tract and everything, and he was on tranquilizers and all kind of stuff. And he was supposed to take in a urine sample to the hospital, and they just blew him off. The secretary, oh yeah, you don't have the right paperwork, you know. And he had come into town with his wife from another town, and she wanted to exchange some things at one of the local stores, you know. And in the meantime, he went to the bathroom, you know, to get another sample, you know, or dump the old sample out. But anyway, one of the security guards came in. And this gentleman, he had been robbed years earlier in one of those washrooms. You know, it was too much for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he all forgot that in one hand he still had the bottle, and in the other hand he still had his little man, you know, when he wanted to urinate as a uriner, you know. So they said, yeah, he was indecent exposure. And there were a lot of discrepancies from the security guard, so the judge said, you know, the Crown has failed to provide enough evidence, you know, and he cannot convict the man, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe we need the same judge over here in Toronto when it comes to dealing with our errant mayor.
Well, there's the other aspect. This should be addressed. The judges, they come from lawyers. They start out as lawyers here in Canada. The judges
are
the
lawyers, yeah.
And the lawyers, they swear an oath to the bar. And I understand the bar is a foreign entity located in London.
It is.
They all swear an oath to that entity. It's a foreign entity.
Yep, but I watched my daughter do it. My daughter became a lawyer, a member of the Law Society of Upper Canada, and I saw her getting sworn in as a lawyer, and I was probably the only parent in the place who was about ready to puke.
And the point I want to make, they all swear swear an oath to the same entity, and then in court they make it look like their opponent.
Yes, well, they say that in the rule of law, they basically say that all law shall be made for the benefit of society. Well, in the first place, I don't know why they even mention that, because they're not legally allowed to make law. They're only allowed to administer it. Law is supposed to come from Parliament and then be administered
by the
courts. When
judges, have a precedent, set a precedent that's outside the law or at the fringe of the written law as passed by the Parliament, then there should be a parliamentary review about changes to the law. But the judges don't have the right to change the law. And here I want to say another thing, birds of a feather will stick together.
Yeah, won't they?
So all the ones that got the black coats, it takes a very strong personality to stand up. And what we have earlier talked about, the scientific community, anybody who blows the whistle, he or she is the odd man or odd woman out.
Big time, yeah. And there aren't I put out a piece yesterday, and basically it said, God bless the whistleblowers, what would we do without them?
Yeah.
It's the absolute truth. I mean, people vilify a lot of whistleblowers, and we don't realize how much danger whistleblowers put themselves in. People don't realize how far
something?
Our blessed government will go to shut somebody up.
I got an idea. The next time one of those crooked politicians or public officials want to do some grandstanding, that people take one of those police whistles, or many people with a police whistle, and start blowing the whistle.
That might be fun. That might be fun.
I
maybe
got
we
another
could
idea.
Them in Parliament.
Yeah. And I got another idea about dealing with the high-handed, over-the-head-of-the-people decision-making of some provincial governments. Well, in this case here in New Brunswick, sent them a boot mayor. Last week I attended a demonstration there in front of the legislature about the shale gas, And a few years earlier we were demonstrating against the sale of the public utility, NB Power. And because there was such a public outcry, at the demonstration there were between 3,000 and 4,000 people there, and with shale gas we were 400, but last year we were, I think, over 1,000 people. And the idea is to send them a boot mayor, take an old rubber boot, stick an envelope with the grievances in, and drive by on the lawn of the by the lawn of the legislature, and throw that old rubber boot on the legislature lawn, basically during a rally. When 200 or 300 cars are driving by and each one throws a boot out of the window.
Now, that would be nice. I mean, it beats what the French did. When the French farmers were getting stomped on by their government, they dumped herds of sheep on the Parliament lawn. And when the fishermen were getting dumped on by Parliament, they dumped tons of dead, rotting fish on the Parliament lawn in France.
Wow.
I mean, those French...
Well,
isn't
there more than one way to skin a cat?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't mess with the French.
But
I remember when I was farming over there in Germany, when they were shafting us, the German government was shafting us, the French farmer and the German farmers, because they split them up because of the favoritism, the French farmers wouldn't put up with this, And they made massive demonstrations, tractor demonstrations and anything. They would block highways and everything.
Well, those people, they learned from 1789. They learned.
But, the end result was, then when I left the last few years, when I was in Germany, like the French farmers had taken, French agriculture had achieved such a strong voice in the European Parliament. And
when Germany was putting in $1 into the common agriculture fund, it was getting, for the German farmers, they were getting only 20 cents back out of the European agriculture fund. But the French, they were putting 20 cents in, and they were getting $1 back.
Well, isn't that interesting? Amazing how people, you know, you cross a border and the math changes.
Or do any of these things work? Do any of the any of these governments change their positions or do anything to address the issues?
Listen,
of the
here in New Brunswick, there were now at least three different issues. About 4 or 5 years ago, they wanted to allow mining companies in here and to start uranium mining. It was a huge public outcry, public hearings, demonstrations. They had to back off. The next thing, they wanted to sell off the public utility and be power to Quebec Hydro. Massive demonstrations, you know. And my friend Marianne Henn, she had come up from New York. When she came up here, first question was, where are the demonstrations? But anyway, she passed away there in the 2nd of July in 2010. And with the same thing that what I described.
Yeah, yeah.
She got a mass heart attack and 3/4 of an hour later she was dead.
Oh.
Well, it's amazing.
And I understand you had quite a loss there last year.
Yes, that was something that, you know, still to this day I think of Karen's death last year and I think of, you know, smart meters and all of that stuff and how she was.
Exactly, a heart attack can be caused.
Yeah.
And this is the point
easily.
Making. This technology has been around for half a century, and it is a deadly technology. Where did you ever hear that the police in Canada, the RCMP, ever pursued any criminal case or did any investigation into murder with this technology?
Never.
Never.
Now, how long time does it take the criminal element to make use of new technology? It sure doesn't take half a century.
No, it takes about a half a week.
So somebody has been asleep at the switch, and here comes the other point. Here comes the other point. They are getting paid by today's pay standards. About a year ago, I was Googling up the pay scale of RCMP. Young fellas, when they just from boot camp, according to that, they start out with $54,000 a year. After 3 years, they are automatically bumped up to over $70,000. You know? And the point I want to make, they sure would not be satisfied with the pay standards, with the pay they were getting half a century ago. Neither should we be satisfied with policing services based on technology from half a century ago.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know what? We're getting hard on the hour at 6 o'clock here, and so we have limited time left with you, Werner. Maybe in the next few minutes you could kind of focus on whatever main message you want to get across to people. What can you suggest that people do, and where should they go on the web to find this information?
One of the first things is ditch your television.
Yes.
Listen only very sparingly to radio.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the CBC wants to appear as being the good media, but they have to put enough good food out in order to mix the poison in.
Yeah.
Exactly. Every good lie needs a piece of truth or a handle.
Yeah. And the first time I ever heard that. But if people want to, then brush up on your basic science. And what I'm describing in the YouTubes and in the documentary, it's basic science. And a person doesn't have to have a university degree to understand it.
No, you're talking about grade 8 level. If you've graduated from grade 8, you should be able to understand this stuff because you're right. It is absolutely basic and just plain logic, plain sensible. It's not hard to understand, but they play that he said, she said game where you go in and you say, oh, well, this is going on, and then they slap a study down, you slap a study down, and the studies cancel each other out, and the audience goes, well, hey, I can't decipher any of that.
And as I say, there's another principle, the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid.
That's what I was just going to mention. Keep it simple, stupid. That's my guideline everywhere. If it's not simple enough to understand, forget about it.
But at times you have to be make an effort. If you have to go down one or the other rabbit hole in order to shore up, you know, your findings, then you have to do it. You have to spend the effort.
Yeah, you can find it. But the thing is that you don't really necessarily need all of that chemical and clinical understanding yourself.
My friend Marianne, she was part of an organization in the States, National Congress for Legal Reform. And what they were advocating, the complete abolishment of the lawyer profession.
Well, I'd second that motion.
Yeah.
My daughter would be mad at me, but I don't care.
and she and a friend, they had formed groups they called Court Watchers. Family and social services were removing children from the caring parents and giving them to the abuser, where Dr. Rebecca Carley can tell you quite a story what happened to her.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I just heard today that they are opening an inquest on the death of Jeffrey Baldwin, who happens to be related to a very close friend of mine. And Jeffrey Baldwin was a kid who was taken from his parents for abuse and then handed over to his grandparents, who already had a record of child abuse but were never, ever investigated before placing him with them. They starved this boy to death.
Wow.
They starved him to death. Just a little 8-year-old kid, they starved him to death.
Wow.
And this is the kind of institutional abuse that people are going through. And then of course, you can bring in all kinds of other people, from seniors at risk, showing how seniors are being abused, children are being abused, adults are being abused, people in professions are being abused. We're all being abused. When do we scream ouch and say no more?
Look up Schwartz Report on the Internet. And it lists, for example, in New York, Long Island, and there, it lists all the judges, the lawyers, the guardians, the social workers who are running a scheme, especially with seniors, declaring them incompetent, put them in mental institution, drug them up so they don't know anymore if they're coming or going, and plunder their estates.
Yep.
And this is what they had been trying to do with Marianne for 3 or 4 years. And she stood up to them in court, defended herself, and they couldn't pull it off. But then things were getting too dicey, and Dr. Carley had advised her, get out of there. If they pick you up and put you in an institution and drug you up, your heart won't stand it.
Yeah, you're done for. They don't care if we die.
No, they don't. They don't.
And the children, I understand there are statistics that clearly show when children are being removed from their parents there and put into foster homes or into other institutions, they are 6 times more likely to be sexually abused.
Of course they are.
And this is what Senator Nancy Schaefer was speaking out against. And guess what? Suddenly, she and her husband were found shot to death, and it was deemed a murder-suicide. How convenient.
Right.
I heard of that case, and that's in eastern states, I think.
Yeah, I think it was down in Georgia. Someplace like that.
I think she was from Georgia. Yeah. And it says in the Bible, you know, in the last days there will be wickedness in high places. They will deceive, and they will get deceived. And iniquity will abound, and because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we have to, refrain from physical violence, but we have to use whatever means necessary to warn the people. that are part of this evil, to turn away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't realize about the consequences.
Yeah, and I want to add to that too, Werner, that, you know, there's a lot of people who are not Christian and do not follow the Bible, but a lot of them respect Gandhi, and what you just said from the Bible is exactly what Gandhi was saying. The nonviolent, but you must fight back.
Yeah, and as I say, the Indian people, they didn't fight back with armies, you know.
Well, and look at the state they're in.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Chinese people who come from the great traditions of Zen Buddhism and all of that, where is their fight back? They all know how to be nonviolent, but it doesn't mean submit to everything.
I mean, all religions have these basic noble truths in them. I mean, you can fight
but
back from any religion.
Who upset the apple carts in all those countries? It was this great empire, this highly praised colonial empire, all the world, all around the world. How many hundreds of millions of victims, dead victims, are in the trail of their 400-year carnage? And where the little Neptune left off, the big Neptune has taken over.
Exactly.
And they are all ruled by the same entity. That little state that comprises only one-tenth of the world's population.
Oh, that little state? What, were you talking about England? Sorry?
When you look at the British Empire,
mm-hmm.
Who was involved in slavery, in the slave trade?
Oh,
there was
a few years ago.
There was a documentary by the CBC. This time it was pretty informative about the slave trade, and they investigated in the 17th century at the British port cities at the time. They kept registered about the ships that were coming in, what was their cargo, you know, and those slave ships that were coming in before they crossed the Atlantic, and the number of slaves on board. Everything was listed, you know, like this ship came in at 800 slaves. Another one, 775, and so on. Then they were being shipped across the Atlantic to the plantations in the southern states, in the Caribbean, and the plantation owners, they paid big money for them. So they kept book, you know, and from 100 that had been a year earlier, had been kidnapped in Africa, and they were not old people or civil people, they were the young, the strongest, the best, you know. After 3 years, only 28 or 29 were still alive. And there, within a short while, they were responsible for the deaths of over 20 million black people. That's one Holocaust. Then you look at the Irish famine. You know, it wasn't a potato famine. It wasn't a lack of food. They did the same thing. They sent militaries in and removed all the food stores out of Ireland. The same thing as what the communists did in the winter 1932-33. When they removed all the food out of the Ukraine, and that winter let 10.5 million Ukrainians starve to death.
Yep, and now they're doing the same thing, only they've gone high-tech. Now they're using weather control and geoengineering to destroy our crops, and then in the grocery stores, our food prices are skyrocketing so that people are already starting to feel the pinch in their own diets. And we're talking middle-class people here are already feeling the pinch in their own diet. And this is all, it's very technical way of doing things, but it's diverse because they're hitting us from different angles. But the end result is you control the food population, you control the population. You look back at what Robert McNamara said. He was the former Secretary of State of the United States, and he moved on to be the president of the World Bank. And while he was the president of the World Bank, he said that they had to step up means of depopulation because, you know, voluntary wasn't working. And he said, how should we do that? By natural means, famine and disease.
And
so
how did they, what I wanted to continue, about the British reign of terror over four centuries around the world.
Yeah.
In Bengal, three famines, successive famines, where they removed the rice. Bengal was a rice bowl of Southeast Asia. And they let altogether about 60 million Bengali people starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, and what is the track record here in North America when they came here? you know, about the native people.
Yeah.
And so many more things that don't come into my head again. But, you know, Great Britain is not the good one. But I don't want to come down on the British people. They were victims over the centuries the same way. You know, the squalor that was created among the working people, for example, in London about 150-200 years ago.
It's the British nobility, to put a fine point on it. It's all British nobility. It started out with feudalism with them, and they've continued to spread feudalism around the world, but they've changed the labels on things to make us think that the content is different. If you change a book's cover, it doesn't change the content of the book.
And as I say, when you put on a pig makeup, it still is a pig.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And
well, you know what, Christopher? We're 4 minutes to six.
Oh, I have 12 to.
Well,
I think we got about 5 minutes, and then we should.
We've got, according to my computer, we've got 2 minutes.
I think we have a little bit more. So, well, anyway. Oh, okay.
Thank
great.
You.
Okay, good.
Well, we're still short on time, so we need to focus here.
Yeah, if I just throw another bop in.
Say again?
If I may just throw another bop in.
Oh, please do.
You mentioned earlier about the ancient culture, the Chinese culture, the Indian culture, and all around the world there were far advanced cultures that were further advanced than the European culture, you know? But culture, symbol of culture, is not when you rob other people's graves. You desecrate their temples and take the loot home to London and display them in the Museum of Civilization to show how great, advanced, how civilized you are.
Yeah.
How about if it would have been the other way around, with the people of Southeast Asia and from South America, and so if they would have barged into Europe and desecrated the graveyards and desecrated the cathedrals?
That puts a new spin on Indiana Jones, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does.
Well,
say, we have to completely throw overboard all that brainwashing that has been done and passed on for at least the last 100, 150 years by the controlled media, by the controlled education system,
mm-hmm.
you know, and by the powers at hand. We have to throw it overboard.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, to my mind, it's like I look at people and you've got to think. You've got to think logically. You've got to connect dots. And I keep saying that to people, and they keep not doing it. And I'm going, try it. You might like it. You know?
But people have to admit that to a certain extent they were more or less guilty of it.
Of course they do. Not high on our to-do list.
And they have to get off their soap. Off their soapbox. And this is one big hindrance why people don't want to listen to that. But then there comes another aspect, and this is what I say it concerns about the brain damage that is being done by all the exposure of all those man-made chemicals unleashed on us by this swarm of Latter-day locusts. And that is a brain damage, CSDS, Common Sense Deficiency Syndrome.
That's
people...
CDSD, or CDDS.
CSDS.
Get the acronym right. Common Sense Deficiency Syndrome, yeah. They ought to make a disease out of that in the DSM-5.
Yeah,
instead, we get oppositional defiant disorder, which means that if you disagree with the government, you're a sick person.
Dr. Holmes, your background is psychology. As I say, maybe I'm meddling in some things. You know, I'm not qualified to.
common sense.
I'm not sure what you were saying.
Common sense supersedes all. Well, you know, he's saying that you're the educated one. You got the PhD in psychology.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's treading on your territory. And I'm saying common sense supersedes all. If it isn't common sense, doesn't make common sense, if it doesn't stand up to logical inquiry, it doesn't belong being educated to anybody.
Yeah, well, much of what's taught in psychology doesn't deserve to be taught. Most of what I learned through my psychological studies has been through the esoteric tradition, like Gurdjieff and Blavatsky and things like that. So I worked at York University over 10 years. I was in a conflict of interest where the Zionists at York University drove me out, essentially, even though at the time I didn't realize what was being done.
Uh-huh.
But I had this long dispute there that went almost 10 years.
Yeah, well, I was told in university that I wasn't allowed to think for myself. I had to regurgitate the work of other authors.
Yes.
That's when I quit.
Yeah, good idea.
But
I don't have a bachelor's or a master's or anything like that from a standard university, but I do have a degree in metaphysics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I got that because all of the other education made me think in a box, and this is exactly what Werner's talking about. Mind control, mind-bending, propagandized and dumbed down chemically, physically, every other way, and we are being turned into a nation of sheep and then being experimented on like sheep and like his cattle.
Trained monkeys.
Pretty much. It's mind-boggling to think about, but until more people start thinking about it, there's no way out.
And we have to. It's just down to such critical levels now, and we could have the instigation of a third world war in the Middle East. The rampant criminality on the world stage is just unbelievable. I must say, I find it overwhelming. It's like so hard to know what to do or how to deal with anything.
And the
brazen arrogance they display in outright lying to us.
Yeah.
They could stop the war. You know, the United Nations has been championed as a solution to global problems. But what is the track record of the United Nations?
What track record?
Yeah.
I say,
they haven't ever done what they said they'd do.
They do exactly the opposite.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, in cutting down on wars and going after war criminals, they appear and give presentation to the United Nations. And when I look just in the last few wars, for example, with depleted uranium, white phosphorus, killing civilians, those are war crimes. Deliberate killing of civilians, those are war crimes. And who gave the order in the NATO countries to send the troops there? The head of state. In Canada, Mr. Harper and his predecessor. You know, at least there was under Chrétien, when they wanted to sucker Canada in to go to Iraq, at least there was one gutsy lady, you know. She said she called them the coalition of the idiots.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Did she? Wow.
But as I say, those head of states that order the troops to embark on those actions of war crime, including the defense ministers. Their mandate is to defend the country. You know, they should be up in front of an international war crimes court. No matter, you know, what
so
their name is.
So many people should be.
Big time.
So many people should be. Werner, I think we're getting down to the end, so... I don't know if you had any final things you wanted to say, and then we'll let you go. And I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. But as I say, this is not just only about the animals. This is about the criminals, and they have not killed just only animals. They have killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you
and
look what caused the death of many of your relatives.
Yeah.
And take a sober, a hard second look at.
That's you know? What we don't realize is how many of our own families and such have died through the ages by these people's weapons against us. Like, we can't
not
really
just only it has been swept underneath the carpet by the so-called healing members of the so-called healing profession.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I would suggest people check out John Rappaport's reports of this week. He had quotes from a cancer surgeon. He said that literally set your hair on fire, and they would. They would. I sent it around. NoMoreFakeNews.com, people, go look it up.
Yeah.
This is eight quotes from a doctor regarding, and he's a cancer surgeon at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. And this guy came out with eight quotes, literally would set your hair on fire because they're so shocking.
Yeah.
It's a big money-making machine.
Big time.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
An industry. It's all industry. It's all multinational, and it's all geared to somebody else's best interest and not ours.
Yeah.
There's a Dr. Tullio Simoncini. He used to be a conventional oncologist in Italy.
Oh, yeah, they all call him crazy, but that man's extremely smart. He pointed to alkalinity and yeast as a source of all cancers, and, of course, it is.
Candida.
You know,
and some of the cancers
are
reversed within several weeks after the yeast was being killed off with simple baking soda.
Yep.
Wow. Simple baking soda.
Yep, baking soda is an absolutely excellent cure. I know people who have cured minor cancers with baking soda. I know people who have cured cancers with no chemo, no radiotherapy, no surgery at all. They're healthy, they're clean, they got rid of everything without losing their hair, without losing their immune system, without destruction to their body, and by eating good, healthy food, and they are healthy and whole today. So when people like Dr. Simoncini come on board, this is exactly the kind of information that people need to come close to. And this is what we've had the privilege of hearing from Werner all for the last 2 hours, is common sense information dealing with what's out there. Now, come on, people. We can handle that.
What have been the blessings of the so-called science revolution over the last 100 years?
What have been the blessings?
Of the so-called science revolution over the last 100 years.
Well,
has the world become a better place?
Which side of that fence you're sitting on?
Yeah. So it's high time that the bad players get kicked off their soapbox.
No kidding.
And some of them been put in jail.
Yeah. Absolutely. Run out of town on a rail, tarred and feathered and... Goodbye.
Yeah, you know, in the Middle Ages, when somebody had offended in a community in Europe, they had a steel cage in the middle of the town square, and somebody had offended against the community, but it wasn't a crime punishable by capital punishment or so. They would let them stick it out for a few days in the town square, and people said,
in Britain they called it the stocks.
Wow.
Yeah, they could walk by and spit at them and hurl insults on them. Basically, they were being put out to shame. And,
yeah.
And none of that's happening at the moment.
But
well,
that would be
the people who deserve the
shame. Name them and shame them.
I understand the Amish people, they still got away
now.
Where they called members that have offended against the community, they shun them.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what happened in all of these different cultures. It's time that we did that. These people are offensive to humanity. They are offensive to any principles of goodness. They are offensive to everybody who has a heart, everybody who has compassion, everybody who has a child, a grandchild. Okay? They are offensive, and they should be named, they should be shamed, and they should be shunned.
Yeah. I think we got to close down the show. Werner, thank you for being here today.
And thank you. But as I say, those are so vast subjects, you know.
It's a wide subject for sure.
Oh, yeah, we could be talking till midnight and still have lots to say. But, you know, for a teaser, people need to look your name up, Werner Bock, WERNERBOCK, find Werner, you'll find a pile of information, as he just demonstrated. Look at the broad knowledge that, Werner has. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
No,
and thank you for sharing that with us, Werner.
It is a high time that the deadbeats get kicked out of the government.
Oh, yeah.
The bureaucrats and so they're just putting in time and collecting a paycheck. And the country can't support it anymore.
Pull the weeds. Separate the wheat from the chaff. Pull the weeds.
Okay, Dee. Thank you, Dee, for being on today. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. We'll have to think up a show for the 21st of December, I think it is.
Oh,
no, the 8th today, 14 days, 24th.
Maybe 22nd.
Oh, 22nd, yeah.
Yeah, okay. 22nd of December. It's going to be hard on Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hope we're going to avoid the Mayan catastrophe on the 21st. I hope that works out okay.
Maybe we'll have a show on the 22nd. Maybe.
but
I see that as such a hope.
The more it's enough that every day got his own worries or something.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Unbelievable. All right, boys.
Okay. Okay, goodbye, and thank you all. We'll see you again in 2 weeks' time,
yeah.
Zero Point Radio, BBS Radio. Thank you. Goodbye.
And God bless. Bye-bye.